You know, the next time that I commit to preaching the lectionary for an entire month, will somebody please suggest that I ought to check out the scriptures first?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, last Sunday, it was that overly familiar story about Jesus walking on the water. And this week, well, in my opinion, this scripture reading is one of the most difficult in the entire Bible. We have, after all, been taught from our childhood to love and trust a Savior who is always willing to meet us where we are and take us to that place where God wants us to be. This is a Savior who never, never gives up on us, who is always willing to come to us, who understands even when we are at our worst. And as a result, when Jesus comes and says that everyone who believes in him and calls upon his name will be invited into the kingdom, well, we believe him, right? Yeah. And then, out of nowhere, absolutely nowhere, this kind, compassionate, loving, understanding man turns on an innocent woman. Her only crime is that she was born on the wrong side of a geographic line. Yes, she did violate several social standards, and she did cross a couple boundaries, but then so did the centurion. Remember him? He was a foreigner. He came to Jesus and asked that Jesus save his daughter. And what about all those lepers? You know, the ones who stood at the side of the road saying, "Jesus, Son of David, save me." He never calls them a name. And the women, the ones who came and brought their children to him to bless, and the disciples said, "Go away." Who got the tongue-lashing men? It wasn't the women. It wasn't the children. It was the disciples who tried to keep them away. Now, in Jesus' defense, he was tired. And yes, he had escaped into a neighboring country and into a neighboring region in hopes of isolating himself from the crowds. And yet, how many times are we told that he sent the crowds and his disciples away and he isolated himself into a deserted region? And how many times are we told that the crowds followed him anyhow? And what happened? Even when the disciples said, "Send them away," Jesus said, "No, keep them here." But when this woman approaches him, when she's obviously desperate to get help for her daughter, and she cries out to him, how does he respond? "I didn't come for you or any of your kinfolk. As a matter of fact, you don't even deserve salvation." So much for Jesus meek and mild. So much for a loving Savior who meets us where we are. It's like Jesus has suddenly forgotten who he is, why he came. It's almost like the Savior needs a Savior. And maybe he did. I mean, after all, the one thing that we like to forget is that Jesus was as fully human as he was divine. And because he was human, he had all of the same emotions and feelings that we do. So maybe what we need to do is place ourselves in Jesus' shoes. I mean, here was a man who'd been preaching for probably 2 years or a little more. And during that time, his own mother had decided that he'd taken leave of his senses, that he was no longer emotionally or mentally stable. And the people he grew up with, his friends, his extended family, and even the rabbis who had taught him in synagogue, they had all attempted to run him off a cliff. They had wanted to kill him. And as for those crowds that gathered around him, have you ever wondered why we have so few miracle stories from those events? Well, could it be that it was because most of the people in those crowds, they didn't care about what he had to say or the lessons that he was giving? Could it be that the only reason they were there was because they wanted a miracle or two themselves and they had no faith? I mean, Jesus had spent 2 years being totally misunderstood and used. And after 2 years, he was tired and discouraged and disappointed. So he decided just to get away so he could relax and regain his perspective. And as luck would have it, he crossed over into another region where socially no one should have spoken to him. And the moment he crosses over, he is confronted by a woman who stands there yelling at him, "Jesus, Son of David, help my daughter." And as Jesus looks into her face, he realizes that perhaps for the first time in 2 years, he's being confronted by a person who has perfect faith. Now, to understand how Jesus must have felt at that moment, I want you all to close your eyes. Okay? Now, imagine that the one person in your whole entire life that you can't forgive is standing in front of you. And if you don't have that person, then imagine a Taliban leader or a murderer. Now I want you to imagine that person is standing in front of you, asking for your help.
But the help they want is not for themselves. It's for someone else. And as you turn to tell them exactly what you think about them, you look into their eyes. And you realize that they know you better than even your own mother. And that somehow or the other, they know you can help. Now, how do you feel? Are you a little angry? Are you repulsed? You can open your eyes. And I'll tell you what Jesus said in that moment. When he realized the woman's faith. You dog. And the insult was no sooner out of his mouth when he realized that as far as the woman was concerned, he could think whatever he wanted to think about her. She came to him out of love for her daughter. And she was willing to suffer the insults, the threats. And I even imagine that she was willing to suffer death itself just to save her daughter. Now, does that sound like someone else? Emmanuel, God with us, the one who died so we might live. The woman's willingness to ask and her persistence in asking, they're an example for us. And perhaps even an example for a very tired Savior. As the Apostle Paul would later remind the Christians in Rome, we're all dogs. We're all dogs, and we're just lucky that God doesn't give us what we deserve. Because if he did, none of us would be saved. For reasons known only by God, we are loved no matter what. And nothing we ever do will convince God to let us go. Nothing we do will ever convince God to let us or anyone else that person you don't want to forgive God will never let us go. God's grace, it is what bridged the gap between Jesus, an unrepentant group of Jews, and a faith-filled woman of Gentile descent. And amazingly enough, it is what bridges the gap between you and me and God. Now that is something worth celebrating, worth believing. We're singing and shouting. You're a dog. Go and tell the world. Because even God loves dogs. To God be the glory.